This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Today is Friday the 13th. And I've got some fun facts for you about Friday the 13th and some traditions and how they got started. Also, just some unusual, random superstitions that you don't hear of quite often. But, for example, you know, a lot of people say carry a lucky rabbit's foot. It wasn't so lucky for the rabbit. But you got those keychains and the, you know, the rabbit foots on them, rabbit feet. Well, many people believe that a rabbit's foot is a lucky charm, but this begins with the belief that witches turn themselves into rabbits to escape capture, to carry a rabbit's foot in your pocket. That would, you know, the witch wouldn't come towards you. So, because you had the rabbit's foot. You know, you thought that she thought you'd probably cut her foot off.
But it was her foot? Because I would then go after that person and be like, give me my foot back.
No, it ain't her foot.
Oh, it's another witch's foot. Yeah. Oh, okay.
If she's turning into a rabbit to escape capture, why would she be coming after you? She would be running away, wouldn't she?
Well, nothing from the witch's era makes sense. Where they were like, if you don't swim back up, then... whoops, you weren't a witch. And it's like, well, it's a little late now.
Yeah, that's in a movie, ain't it?
It's just weird.
All right, so how about breaking mirrors? We've heard that, you know, if you break a mirror, you have 7 years of bad luck. You know where it started?
No.
The superstition came from Roman times where people had gazing pools. And the people would they go to gaze at themselves in admiration at the gazing pool where the water was. And if someone didn't like the person... they would walk by the gazing pool or the gazer, and they would throw a pebble in to break the picture, I guess, of the reflection in the water.
This doesn't make Facebook seem so bad now, does it?
It doesn't, does it?
Or Instagram. It's like people pile on there to crack, it's like to make comments about how bad the person looks. They were doing it back in Roman days without technology.
Exactly. Well, you know what? And some of these may even help you if you are superstition, even if you aren't superstitious. Sometimes people say, I'm not superstitious, but, you know, they will pick up a penny on heads.
Okay, yeah.
I ain't superstitious, but there's a penny on heads.
You do that. I throw pennies on the ground to watch you pick them up.
I'll pick them up on heads, tails, or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what they say is...
because you haven't learned about inflation yet. Pennies are worthless.
Okay, Tom, you've been very opinionated throughout this, and I know you're not a superstitious guy.
That has nothing to do with that. I'm just saying, you pick up pennies, it's fun to watch.
They're not worthless. $100 is a dollar.
And a dollar is worth what? What can you buy with a dollar?
Tom.
Only you can buy is a tree. There's a store that has, oh, please, a dollar is garbage now.
God, you know what, though? You go to a Dollar Tree, you can pick an item, any item.
Yeah. I like to cherry pick what I'm superstitious about. You know,
everyone does, Tori.
I'm not going to walk under a ladder because I do believe that's bad luck.
It really is bad luck. Like something might fall on you. It makes sense.
Like the person at the top of the ladder?
Or the paint can that they've got, or the hammer that they're carrying.
But see, there's a black cat in my neighborhood, and I've been trying to sit for like months now.
Exactly, because that's not dangerous. It makes sense.
It's so cute.
You need to explain what the is, because people might be thinking you're peeing on it.
Well, I thought before.
I'll still cat.
No wonder you won't come around.
That does make sense.
Yeah, because you don't usually call cats with it's like, meow.
That would explain why it hasn't worked.
So, I have some random superstitions about coins, Tom. If you do pick up coins, you're supposed to go buy a lottery ticket with the coins. That is a random superstition people have.
You're going to pick up a lot of coins before you can buy a lottery ticket.
If it rains on your wedding day, you will be showered with blessings throughout your marriage.
I've heard that
well,
one before.
Well, that's not true.
It worked for me.
Not me. It didn't rain on your day, did it?
It did. It sprinkled a little bit.
It poured on mine. We had to move it from outdoors to indoors. 11 months later, we were divorcing.
Yeah.
Dang, so you're
that
right.
Was a bunch of
one's baloney.
I was blessed.
Like an Alanis Morissette song.
If your nose itches, you're about to kiss a fool. Next person you kiss. That's weird.
That's dumb.
And when a couple is walking down the street holding hands, and it's all probably happened to us, and there's an obstacle in the way like a lamppost.
You say, Red Rover, Red Rover.
No, you don't do
okay.
that.
Don't separate either.
The lamppost comes between them. They must say bread and butter, which keeps the union until the hands meet again.
What?
Yeah, bread and butter. You better be saying it now.
See, I thought it was unlucky to go on each side of the pole. That you have
it
to
is. That's why you have to say bread and butter to keep it from messing
so you
up, I guess.
Stay on the same side.
That would be better than doing bread and butter. Sound like an Ariana Grande song.
What if it's someone else walking up the sidewalk and you're blocking the sidewalk because you're stretched out across holding hands?
That's when you do say Red Rover, Red Rover.
Yes. What does bread and butter mean, though?
I don't like the
pickles.
I
don't understand that.
I don't like the pickles.
I'm still trying to understand whenever Ariana Grande says bacon and eggs.
Yeah. So, how about sports superstitions? You know, you've heard the traditions that fishermen have when they go fishing a lot of times. There's a lot of them with the fisher guys out there and girls. Fish may not bite if a barefoot woman passes you on your way to the dock, they say. That is a superstition. Spit on your bait before casting your rod to make the fish bite.
Huh.
I've not heard. Hold still, worm. Then you go, pss, 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 pss. That's my spitting noise. Throw back your first catch and it's good luck for the fisherman.
For the fish.
Wait, what if it's a big fish, though? You're supposed to throw it back
you're supposed
in?
To throw it back.
And
yeah.
then you catch a minnow.
Take a picture.
A fish came up with this one.
All right, and it's bad luck to change your rods while you're fishing. Don't do that. I don't know if that applies to you or not. How about bowling, Cato? You like to bowl?
My arm's still sore from the bowling league I was in months ago.
To continue the winning streak, you wear the same clothes. So if you're on a team, and that's why they have the same shirts in the same bowling shirts.
Oh, yeah.
The whole team has the same one. Carry charms on your bowling bag, in your pocket, or around your neck for good luck as well. That's where you might may see a rabbit's foot on the bowling bags if you've ever gone to a bowling alley. Have you seen that?
Yeah, they're trying to avoid witches that are turning into rabbits
exactly.
and chasing them.
Yeah, that might be in the bowling alley.
Or the witches on the league, the witches league.
And if you are a golfer, start only with odd number clubs. That's a superstition they have. Balls with a number higher than four are bad luck. And carrying coins in your pocket for good luck. That's something you do. And then lastly, if you like to play basketball, the last person to shoot the basket during the warm-up will have a good game, they say. So a lot of times they'll let their best player shoot that last basket. Wipe the soles of your sneakers for good luck. You'll see them do that sometimes. Yeah. And then bounce the ball before taking a foul shot for good luck. If you don't bounce the ball, a lot of times you'll miss that shot.
I miss it either way. It doesn't seem to make a difference.
Yeah. And a lot of people are not superstitious.
That would be me.
Yeah, I know you're not.
Knock on wood.
I mean, I've broken a mirror. I've crossed a path with a black cat. Mm-hmm. I didn't go. But now if I spill salt, if I'm at a restaurant, I spill the salt shaker, I will take that shaker and toss it over my shoulder.
Yeah.
The whole shaker?
It's not good luck for the person behind you.
Is that not what you're supposed to do?
No, you just put the salt behind you. You throw the salt behind you, don't you?
That explains a lot.
Incoming!
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
Every now and then I will read something that will let me know I'm above average. I'm quite above average on this one. They say the average person asks, what did you say, over 1,000 times a year.
I like what Cato says. Come again? You say come again?
Do I?
Yeah, you do that all the time.
He does that whenever he's like, people are leaving his house. He's like, come again.
Yeah. No.
I have apparently people who mumble in my house.
Actually, I say, do what? That's what I say. Yeah.
My son is a mumbler, and I shouldn't be calling him out probably, but he tends to talk, and he doesn't turn towards me, and his voice is at that age where it's very deep and it just is very hard to understand. So I have to ask him two or three times sometimes. I'll be like, hey, your dad's old. Can you please face me so I can see your lips too? I got to do a little lip reading or something.
Yeah, right.
Because it doesn't make sense to me. And especially if it's not in context with something. But I'm sure I must ask this more than 1,000 times a year.
Well, to make you feel better, I think all teenage boys are that way.
I don't doubt it at all.
My son's the same way.
I know adults that mumble and have they say things.
I was going to say, my husband has started to blend together words and he mumbles. So I'll ask him a yes or no question and he does this like, yep. And I'm like, I don't. Was that a yes or a no?
Oh, man, people are good at that.
I know, and then he gets annoyed, and he's like, I said yes. I'm like, you didn't, though. You did like this Muppet sound, like, nyeh. I don't know what that means.
Yeah. You know, soon we're going to have little recorders on our shoulders for everything, and we'll be able to play it back and go, look, you said meep.
Yeah.
And that is not the same as yes, and you got to do it right.
It's like a football game. Let's break out the instant replay here, and here you go. I'm going to win this argument.
I've always wanted that, but you know, I fear that maybe it won't turn out so good for me if I actually did get to replay it all, because your memory plays tricks on you.
Yeah.
And my wife was all excited for our minivan. She got one of those, I guess, the dash cams, mm-hmm. and it records not only out the front of the car, but it records us in the car. So you can see us all arguing and talking, and you can see that whatever we're running over, and it's like, I don't think this is going to help us as often as it's going to hurt us. I think we're going to get in an accident, and we're going to be like, oh, wish we didn't have that dash cam to prove that we did this dumb red light or whatever.
Yeah.
But they say the most common response that you hear whenever you say something is either yes, no, I don't know, or what did you say? And what did you say is typically 3 times a day. That's about 21 times a week, 90 times a month, or over 1,000 times a year.
I don't say, what did you say? I do go, huh?
And keep in mind that what did you say not necessarily means you didn't understand what they said. You're like, what did you say?
Well, yeah. I think they're leaning more towards the other one than this, though.
Yeah.
And they say on average, whenever you do have to ask for it,
mm-hmm.
that you have to repeat it twice more before they understand it.
Yeah.
So
you ever just give up?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
And you answer and you're like, I don't know if you were asking, but carrots. Sure.
I'm always like, never mind. It wasn't that important.
And with your grandparents, they'll say something totally different. Like, you know, you'll say something, they think you said a whole different sentence, and they'll answer that sentence.
And now sometimes I do that to not get in trouble. Because my husband will be like, what'd you say? And I'd be like, I said I do like your shoes. They are so cute. But that's not what I said.
That's pretty funny. Well, I guess there's some other things that we say more than 1,000 times a year.
Okay.
I'll have fries with that.
Okay.
And of course, a lot of times people who work there have to ask that 1,000 times a year.
What is it with I still have a beef with the drive-thru here lately.
What do you mean?
The speaker's not working. The person's rude. Then now it's like, are you going to use your app? No, I'm not. Every time it's like, let me just order my food.
Yeah.
Trying to push the apps on me.
Okay, some other things that we say thousands of times a year. Well, according to Facebook, I saw, and that's true. It's very easy to get caught up in that. Or on the internet, I saw this.
Yeah.
One that Tori says a lot is, you won't believe what Brittany posted today.
Oh, my gosh. Did you see what she said about Sabrina Carpenter?
She is kind of a little bit crazy.
Whew, she got sassy.
Which one, Tom? Brittany or Tori?
Both. What did you say?
They
say, this is one that I think I've had to deal with. Do you have this in an XL? I find myself asking that a lot at the store. You're like, I like this shirt, but do you have it in an XL? Do you have it in a bigger size?
Are you saying that 1,000 times a year?
Well, I mean, only whenever I go shopping. It's just one year every 10 years. But that year, I ask it a lot.
I guess.
And then Americans are known for saying this a lot of times in a year, and that is Freebird.
Oh, concerts.
Concerts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who's on stage.
Or I was at the zoo one time, and I said, free that bird.
Oh, yeah. Save the animals.
They were like, what did you say?
Yeah.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Well, Tom was just saying that the average person asks, what did you say, over 1,000 times a year. Maybe we need to be better listeners, and I'm going to help us out this morning. Easy ways to elevate your active listening skills. I think we all would like to be better listeners, right?
Huh? I don't think that was the problem, though, that with the what did you say, it was because we didn't understand the people.
Yeah, but the reason I bring that up is because one of the skills is asking clarifying questions. Seek clarification on any unclear points to be a better listener. This demonstrates your interest and active involvement in the conversation beyond just exchanging words. So you want to ask the clarifying questions.
You should. But then again, I don't think some people care.
Okay, well, to be a good listener, you have to care, Tom.
Not if you're a really good listener. Sometimes you can listen and not pay attention, and then when they call you on it, and they're like, ask you something, you rewind it in your head real quick and remember what they said, and then you answer.
No, you can't do that. I tried.
I can do it.
I've tried. I'll be talking to somebody on the phone and texting someone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't.
And then the person on the phone's like, hello. I'm like, sorry. So what do you think?
And
I'm like, think about what?
Yeah. And they call you out. Were you texting somebody? No. Yeah. No. It's kind of like when somebody calls you. Are you asleep right now? At 10
but some people
at
can do that. I learned.
Okay. That's your gift to the world.
I learned when I was in Sunday school, the teacher would call on me, and I'd be talking to someone else, and she'd get so frustrated because I could literally replay that last sentence, answer the question, and it made her mad. She got frustrated.
You've said that many years now here on the show. Like, I can do that. You have the listening skill at home. When you're playing a video game, your wife asks you something.
Right.
Yeah.
It's true.
Not all of us have that. We're not gifted like that.
I didn't say you did. Yeah. I'm just saying that some people can do that.
So here's another way they say to be an active listener, a good one. Give your full undivided attention to the person. They say put down or silence your phone and focus on the speaker and maintain eye contact.
That's what you're not good at, Tom. You may hear what they say, but if they can see you doing other things, it's rude that you don't stop what you're doing and turn around and have a conversation.
That was very rude of you to say.
Okay. But you know what? And I saw a video where the guy's saying, hey, put down your phone. Like, if someone has a phone in their hand, or if you put it down on the table even, it shows that, hey, this device is important to me.
Yes.
And if this conversation is not entertaining me, I've got a backup plan.
I'll be with friends like at lunch or something, or just sitting across the table and we're chatting.
Yep.
And they'll pick up their phone and start doing something. I'll just stop talking. Mm-hmm. And they'll look up and say, what are you going? I'm like, well, I'm going to let you finish what you're doing.
Yeah, finish
first.
Playing your game or whatever. Yeah. I know this conversation is boring.
I want you to hear this.
And the smartwatches have made it worse, because then it's like constant. You know, with the phone, you might not pay attention to it 100%. But if it's buzzing on your wrist, you're always going to lift and see what's going on.
Right.
I mentioned this not too long ago, but I've been working on that with my wife. And it's something called intentional listening, where you actually turn into them. So if I'm on my Kindle or my iPad or something, and she comes in to talk to me, I look away from that and look at her in the eye. That way you show you're giving your attention to him.
Yeah. Because she's important. You don't do that to us in here when you're Googling something on the internet.
Who said that?
Be present. Stay in the moment and try your best to avoid letting your mind wander. Sometimes, especially in arguments, you're sitting there and you're listening to the person and you're just thinking about what you're about to say to them.
Oh, we know.
That is one thing when you're talking to somebody and all they're doing is trying to think of what they're going to say to you without even knowing what you're saying, Hawk.
Like I said, we know.
Everybody does that.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I think I'm horrible about that when I realize midway through the argument that I messed up somewhere. And then I'm like, oh, figure out a way out of this. So then I'm busy trying to get my escape plan going.
Okay, avoid interruption. Nobody likes to be interrupted. And have some patience and allow the speaker to express their thoughts, which a lot of times I think we all interrupt. And it's frustrating because I need to focus on what I'm about to say.
And the problem that I find frustrating is that I already know what you're going to say. Like, I know what you're saying, and I don't need to hear you say it.
That is so egotistical for you even to say that.
It's really not at all. It's like, I know what you're about to say, and I don't need to wait for it.
I find it frustrating when you're, like, mid-word, not even mid-sentence, and someone's jumping in. I'm like, can you just take a breath? Calm down.
Yes.
I'll move on to the next one. Show empathy.
See?
Put yourself in the speaker's shoes and respond with compassion.
We all do.
Tom wasn't just now. He knows what I'm about to say. Okay, what am I about to say now, Tom?
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you're trying to defend yourself in an argument, and I know what you're getting. You say one or two words, and I know which direction you've decided to go with it, and I don't need to, and it's wrong, so I need to correct it before you waste our time with it.
Use nonverbal cues. Open up your body language, unfolding your arms and your legs. That gives the person, because a lot of times nonverbal cues like that says, I'm not listening to you.
And you know what's crazy is I've heard that crossing your arms while somebody's having it, but sometimes that's just comfortable.
Yeah.
So then I cross my arms, and then I'm thinking, oh gosh, they're going to think I'm not interested.
I do
and then
too.
I'm focusing on not crossing my arms, and I'm not even listening to what they're saying.
That's awesome.
Because I'm in my own little world over here trying to figure out if they think that I'm not listening.
Okay.
I'm not.
Paraphrase. Reflect and paraphrase, like summarizing. You might say something like, so what I hear you say, or what you are trying to say, is this. And that lets them know, oh, okay. And then you say whatever they were saying. That means you were really listening.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then finally, avoid judgment.
That's not happening.
People.
Exactly.
People fear sharing because they don't want to be judged. And you're always judging the conversation. And you might say something like, you're an idiot. You're dumb. What's wrong with you? Why were you,
born?
What were you thinking? Like, why did you say it like that? Like, you know, you're a smart aleck.
I think I've used all those in here.
I've thought them all in this conversation.
You think about it, though. You know, you always hear the phrase, you're a smart aleck. You ever hear anybody say, you're a dumb aleck?
No.
Oh, bud.
You're a dumb aleck.
I'm thinking it right now.
Oh.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is.
Yeah. I might be a dumb aleck.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
I want to talk about some expanding Apple products. It seems like there's always a new one coming out, and I think people are interested in these. I didn't realize how crazy people can get with the reviews on some of these.
Yeah.
For example, I was really surprised about the Fuji Apple review.
Wait, I thought you were talking about the Apple iPhone.
Oh, no. What made you think that?
You said the Apple review.
I said the Apple products and the reviews.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So there's a website that reviews apples, and they are spicy. Not the apples, the reviews.
Oh.
The Fuji Apple review gets a 56 on a scale of 1 to 100, and it's ranked barely worth it. And here's what they say about the Fuji Apple, the Japanese pop star. Yet another demon spawn of the Red Delicious, crossed with a Rawls Janet, this gravelly choking hazard, named after the Fusaki City, Japan.
Careful.
Is a J-pop star of an apple fit with a ravenous fan base that many Americans will find difficult to understand. Personally, it's beyond comprehension how this super hard medieval weapon masquerading as a fruit could become the most popular apple in Japan and a top 5 apple worldwide. Aside from a semi-sweet initial bite, this mushy, rough-skinned experiment gone awry is a baffling oddity with a sword-like stem so sharp it will quite literally stab other apples in transit.
Oh, it's like sabotaging.
So they say the Fuji is not for everyone, but if it is for you, it will probably be your favorite apple. And then it has an update in 2023, still truly baffled how that people like this apple. So this guy has reviews of different apples all over his website.
Does he work for Granny Smith?
No. In fact, I'm not sure he has much nice to say about her. But one of the lowest ranked apples is something called a Newtown Pippin apple. And he ranks it with a 19 and calls it vomitous filth.
Ooh, wow, spicy.
And I can't even read some of the things he says about this apple because he uses words that are not polite.
What's so funny is why you're so passionate about apples.
Yeah, he has no life.
That's what I was wondering, too. This guy, and he has a huge fan base because he is very explicit in all of his descriptions of these different apples.
That's what I don't like about the internet. People can tear down anything and make a big deal about nothing, like apples. I'm like, you could sit there and someone be complaining about toilets.
Okay.
And how they are so bad for us and all this junk.
Oh, my grandma used to complain about a toilet. When I rented this place, she said it was too low to the ground. And I'd never heard anyone review a toilet before that.
I mean, people can pick anything, though, and just tear it apart.
The only relationship what you are talking about right now to what I'm talking about is the green apple splatters. And I don't understand why we're talking about toilets.
What does he say about those?
So here's what is interesting, too, is he doesn't just tear down apples. He builds some of them up, too. Guess what the number one and two apples are? One of them I've heard of, one of them I haven't.
Well, apparently he doesn't like Red Delicious.
No, which is interesting because I like those.
Yeah, those are pretty good. They get mushy, too.
Those are one of the things.
Yeah, you don't want that, yeah.
Apple Jacks. Everybody likes them, right?
The Honeycrisp apple is number two.
I like
Honeycrisp, all right. Mm. I personally prefer a Red Delicious, Kato. If it's fresh.
I don't even know the difference. I just know Red Delicious are sweet and Granny Smith's are sour.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't eat apples.
Something called a Sweet Tango apple was the holy grail of apples with a 97 near perfect score.
It sounds good.
That makes me want to try one now just because if it's better than a Honeycrisp and it's the ranked highest by this guy who's pretty demanding of his apples, I want to try this one.
Yeah, but if anybody's complaining that much, do you really want to take their word for it?
Yes.
I don't. I'm like, come on. You have a positive attitude.
So you're just going to go with someone who doesn't. What do you mean have a positive attitude? He's got 10 or 12 apples here that get 90s and 80s.
Okay.
Well, just because he doesn't like an apple, you think he's got a negative attitude?
Is he an apple specialist? Did he go to school for this apple 101?
Apology.
Apology.
I haven't heard of the number three apple. It's something called a Kanzi apple, K-A-N-Z-I. It's called the European party apple.
Oh, wow. Maybe
I would try that.
Liquor in it.
Snapdragon is number four. Envy apples is number five. Pink Lady, Lucy Glow, Opal, Wild Twist, and Sugar Bee rounded out. I will say, these sound like crazy things to you, but if you ever go to Costco and maybe Sam's, they have about seven or eight different apples
to choose from. Yeah.
I have to get my phone out, Kato, to try to figure out which ones are going to be tart and which ones are going to be sweet. Because I kind of like a little more of a tart apple than a sweet one sometimes. And the texture matters to me, too, because I like it crunchy.
When you buy them from Costco, though, you got to eat them for a whole year, the whole family pack.
They're not as big as you think. Honestly. Then he has a list of average apples that rank from pretty good to mediocre. And then we go down to the bottom of the list. Like I said, you get down into the 19 was his lowest rated apple. I've never heard of the Newton Pippin apple, but now I want to try it just to see if it's as bad as he says it is.
I would agree about that. I'm kind of curious.
It would be interesting.
I mean, to me, a lot of apples taste about the same.
Yeah.
The
majority, what I've tasted, other than, like I say, Granny Smith.
Here's some interesting descriptions for the lower apples. The golden russet apple he calls a putrid corpse. The Arkansas black apple is a teeth-shattering oddity.
Mm, wow.
Here's what he thinks of the Red Delicious, Kato. It's pretty low on his list. Coffee grinds and a leather glove. I don't get that from those, but that is a good description.
What'd you say about Granny?
But you do want to taste a glove with coffee grinds on it just to see and compare it with the Red Delicious. Does it really taste like that?
All right. Granny Smith apples come in the middle of the pack with a 57, and it says the original sour apple.
Yeah. I would agree.
That's kind of accurate.
It's kind of like those little hard candies that you get.
Oh, like the Jolly Ranchers?
Jolly Ranchers.
Yeah, those are so good. That's why they're green. It makes sense, actually.
Oh.
They have a Wine Crisp apple.
Ooh.
Tori liked that one, finally.
<I'm listening. laughs>
It says it's a bottom shelf vintage. It's only mediocre.
Well, you know what? I typically buy off bottom shelf, so that kind of fits.
Evercrisp, I think those are a decent one, but he calls them jawbreakers. Ambrosia apples is the chosen apple, but it's only got a 70.
Have anything about the caramel apple or the candied apple at the fair?
No, but it has a King David apple. I was not familiar with that. That's the tart of Arkansas.
Now, why would he go with King David? Why wouldn't it be the Eve apple?
He didn't name it. He's just reviewing them.
It's a...
He didn't name the apple.
Well, I misspoke. Whoever came up with the name that, the King David apple, like the, I mean, you think about apple in the Bible, it's Eve that ate that apple.
Yeah.
And then you got Adam in trouble.
You can make an apple and name it the Eve apple.
Well, like Tori said, who would eat it?
I don't want to eat the 10 plagues of Egypt apple. That's not a good one.
Take a bite and just locusts fly out.
Well, you just die.
Oh, that's even worse.
Or the Cinderella apple. Sleeping Beauty. Mm-hmm. What was it, Cinderella? No, it was Snow White. There you go. Yeah. Sorry about that.
That's all right. Accuracy is never a problem here.
Not with me.
Apples have really been criminalized.
They've really been expanded. There's a lot of apples out there. Who knew?
Apple bottom jeans, boots with the fur.
All right, just stop.
Somebody rate that.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.